This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Sports talk radio show where 80% of the monologue is about sports. We have the national championship game. We have the Blues coming off a thrilling victory. Green Bay Packers making a move. And almost every text is about Lorena Bobbitt. Oh, boy. Oh, some of these are good. Somebody just said, is this the press box or TMA? It was really a well-done special. I recommend you watching it, too. So Martin's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Chris Kerber talking Blues hockey at 10:45. But it's our pleasure to welcome one of the great quarterbacks in NFL history, the one and only Jim Hart. Jim, great to be with you. How are you?
Hey, Frank. Thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You were playing golf yesterday, and I know you've had some health issues, so that must be a good sign. How's your health?
It's good and bad. I still have back issues, and my hips are still bothering me a little bit. But I'm almost going to be 75 here pretty soon, and a lot of people have problems that get in their 70s. So I don't complain about it. It is what it is. I don't play as much golf as I used to once a week now for a couple of months, and then it gets a little too warm. So I don't like that.
At one,
sweat so much.
Yeah, at one time you were a scratch golfer or close?
Oh, I got down to a four for a while. But, gosh, that was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And I still think I can do that. But then when I swing and hit the ball, it doesn't go like it used to. So I have fun. And like I say, I'm just playing once a week. And whatever. If I shoot, like yesterday, I shot 46 on the front nine, 42 on the back. So I can play decently. It's just that the mind is not willing.
That's still so, pretty good. Still pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's okay.
So I thought of you last week when the news came out that Don Coryell is a finalist again for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, the one stat about Coryell that really jumps out at me is he was the first to win 100 in college and 100 in the NFL. And he took over a Bill Bidwell dismal franchise and made you guys really good. And he did the same thing in San Diego. I imagine, Jim, you are praying and hoping that this finally works out for the late, great Don Coryell.
No question. I think he deserves to be there like everyone else feels that way. I'm just so sad that it has to be posthumously. I know he would have appreciated it, and all of us older guys would have busted our tails to get there and help honor him. So it would have been great to see him again. It's been a few years, and you can't argue with the success that he had and the way he made better players out of us guys. So I just hope that it works. It's so difficult to get into the Hall of Fame today as far as an old timer. Because the people who vote are probably not old enough to have seen guys play or coach, and they start comparing them to today's player or today's coaches, and that's apples and oranges. It's just not fair. But hey, life's not fair either.
You know, for our younger audience, Jim was struggling to become the starting quarterback for the Big Red. You were technically not starting. Don Coryell arrives, and you become a four-time Pro Bowler, an NFL MVP. And when you retired, your 34,000 passing yards, was that third or fourth all-time?
That was third, yeah.
Yeah. So what was it, and how quickly did Don Coryell say to you, who was basically, you know, fighting to even to get on the field, that, hey, you are my guy?
Well, it was before we even started. He came out on, and we had a dinner, and a lot of the guys came to it, and He said before the dinner, he put his arm around me and he said, hey pal, I don't know what the other coaches have been thinking about these last few years, but he said you're my guy, and that ended up in the paper the very next day. I never said anything to anybody, but apparently somebody said that, and that put a lot of pressure. But it also made me feel so good that because I knew his reputation of being a throwing coach, and so yeah, it was pretty neat. Certainly turned my career around.
What do you think made him a genius?
Well, he was he studied the game so hard, and he worked at it so hard, and he's the first coach who brought that thing about coaches sleeping overnight in the office, and he did that. He lived out in Lake St. Louis, so he said, it's just easier for me to stay here all night than to drive 45 minutes out there. And he said, I would only be asleep a couple hours anyway and have to turn around and come back. So, but he didn't do that. He did that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the rest of the times were fairly normal. But he was just so innovative. He did some things that other coaches didn't think of. And, of course, the real test, I think, is the way teams are and players are being coached today, just the way he was doing it 40 years ago. And it's just like, see, he did have something, and people are copying it now, and that's the greatest thing that you can say about somebody.
Do you think the coach that came the closest to replicating Don Coryell was Mike Martz?
Probably, yeah. I'd have to say Joe Gibbs put him in there too, because he coached under, played under, and coached under Don Coryell. So I'd have to. You can't just stop at Mike Martz. You got to talk about some other coaches whose names escape me at this point. But yeah, he was just the leader of the new era of the throwing quarterback throwing teams. And even then, you think about it, we ran the ball with the best of them back then, and he would always want to run it. I'd come to the sideline and talking to Hanifin for a timeout, and Jim and I are talking, and Don would stick his head in there and say, throw it. and then it'd be fourth and one or something. I'd throw it. And Jim Hanifin would look at me, and Don would turn away, and he goes, you know what to do. And that was turn it, give it to Jimmy Otis or Terry Metcalf, and let the line do it. And if that weren't enough, you get in the huddle after being away from being on the sideline, and the guys are saying, we are going to run it, aren't we? Yeah, boys. Okay, whatever you want. What am I going to do? I'd do something stupid and have it not work, and the lineman would jump all over my butt. So we had a great offensive line, and they liked to run block, because I think they liked to deliver the punch, and like Dobler did. But it was they also were tremendous pass blockers. They prided themselves on being great run blockers, but I always looked at them as being a great passing team, a passing offensive line. You remember one year we had I was sacked five times all year long, five times.
Wow!
And the record was seven, and the backup quarterback got sacked once. And Jim Bakken, on a busted play, got sacked once. So as a quarterback, five times all year long. So if that's not an honor for the offensive line, don't know what is.
Yeah, let's mention those names. It was Dobler, Dierdorf, Banks, Finney, and Bob Young. We hear and have Dan on the program from time to time, and you know most of our audience think of Dan as a broadcaster. But just how devastating a blocker was he for you, Jim?
Oh, he was so devastating. Yeah, so much so. The names of the left tackles or left ends on defense, you wouldn't know them because they never got into me. somebody like Too Tall Jones, who Dan owned. They just never got into me, and it was always the left side, and that's it with every team. The right defensive end on the quarterback's left side is the one who's most dangerous. And I never had to worry about on the right side. Dan would always keep that person out. Somebody like Jack Youngblood, Youngblood hated to play against Dan because he just would keep him at the line of scrimmage all the time. And speaking of Youngblood, he's the one that he couldn't get to me, so he starts hollering at me from the time the ball is snapped, and he's coming, he's trying to get around Deardorff, and he's not making it, and he's screaming at me as he's doing it. Here I come, Jimmy! He's got a high-pitched voice. Here I come, Jimmy! I'm going to get you, Jimmy! You almost want to laugh because you're thinking, well, now where's that coming from? And then we get in the huddle, and Dan goes, can you believe that idiot? What's he trying to do? I say, well, just keep him out. We'll be fine.
We're talking with the former NFL MVP Jim Hart, Hollywood Casino Press Box, on the all-new 590 The Fan. I'm wondering, did you ever have a conversation with Dan Fouts about Coryell? Because you guys had similar careers in that you were doing okay but not great, and then this man arrives and you become superstars.
Well, what does that tell you about the coach? I mean, yeah. The only thing different is was the head coach, and so he's responsible for Dan being in the Hall of Fame. I know that Dan would say that. Dan Fouts and I haven't talked a great deal through the years, separated by the distance, of course. Now he's on TV and all, so I haven't seen him in years, but I just know what he would say, just the same things that I say, that he's responsible for our careers, period.
I don't know how much you watch the NFL now, but is there a quarterback that if you had your druthers, yeah, I kind of like to watch him for 3 hours play a game. Is it Mahomes? Is it Luck? Is it Brady? Who do you like to watch nowadays, Jim?
Oh, gosh. Well, you named those three, and I'll any one or all of them. I do enjoy watching. I guess, especially Mahomes, as young a player as he is, to be as successful is just incredible. But I think what he would say too is that the offensive line lets him be the player that he is, and I certainly think that that's Brady's situation. You see him standing back and just going through his progressions. He stands back there and hops a little bit, and he's looking left and looking in the middle, looking right. And he even has time to come back and repeat the progression, which is unreal. And then you see other quarterbacks who get back, plant, and bam, they're hit. They don't have time to go through a progression. So it's their offensive line. There's no question. You put pressure on Tom Brady, and he's just like the other quarterbacks. I'm sorry. That's just, I think he would say the same thing, that the reason he's been successful has been his offensive line and the offense, period. When you've got people who can catch the ball like they've had through the years, that's the reason. I'm sure he would say that, although I haven't read that anywhere. Thinks that might take a little humility, and I'm not sure that he has that, but that's just between you and me.
Do you think if you were playing now, your 34,000 passing yards at the end of your career would be like 60?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be correct. When you talked about the 34,000 yards, we were not as big a throwing team as teams are today. So, with going over 30,000, with running the ball like we did, I think is pretty good tribute. And so, yeah, I'm proud of that. I'm proud to have played in this era or that era. I wouldn't want to be playing today. The money would be great, but I had so many good friends and. Even on the other side of the ball, I've got friends in Dallas and friends in Washington, and that I communicate with by the internet. That it's just so much fun. But that's the way it goes. Things change.
Hey, before we let you go, I want to tell you we're kind of connected now because your great restaurant at Westport, Dierdorf and Hartz, is where Kimmel's, after 93 years downtown, is moving to. So we're actually moving into the location where the great Dierdorf and Hartz used to serve those sumptuous steaks.
Wow, that's interesting. I only get back once a year for our tournament with Sunny Hill, and so I don't get a chance to visit that site. I wondered if anything had been going in there yet, but that's really an honor for Kimmel's, a restaurant that has got the great tradition that they have. So nothing lasts forever, that's for sure. And but you know, we had fun with it, and our names were synonymous with good steaks, that's for sure.
Yeah, I can still remember the commercial. I'm thinking of a steak.
Yep. Yeah.
Good stuff. Jim, an honor to have you on the
great one.
An honor to have you on the program. Good to hear you're doing better. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Hey, thanks for thinking of me. I appreciate it, Frank.
All right. The great Jim Hart joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the one and only Chris Kerber talking Blues hockey.